show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show, where you hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about today's political scene and what's going on all around the world. Welcome to the show. Glad to have all of you along with us today. We hope to have a great show for you today. We've got a great guest, I can tell you that. One of my favorite people in the political arena, David Swanson from AfterDowningStreet.org, is going to be with us today, and ImpeachCheney.org. So you'll want to hear that coming up around 3:40, about 38, 37 and a half minutes from right now. We'll have David Swanson on with us. If you've never heard David speak, by the way, and just read his websites, check out some of the audio on his site. The guy is a terrific speaker and quite a guy in person as well. And you can join the show, as always, by giving us a call, toll free, at 866-546-5254. And if you've got minutes to spare on your calling plan, you can call us at 941-876-6896. There, I turned on the phone button. I just about forgot it today. How are you doing today? Did you have a restful weekend? Did you kick back? And what's everybody do nowadays? I guess it depends what age bracket you're in. If you're the young type, 18, 19, 20 something, you go out and rock and roll on Friday and Saturday night and sleep it off on Sunday. If you're the medium crowd there, medium age crowd, you kind of like go boating and fishing and all that sort of thing. Myself, I didn't do much over the weekend except work. Work, but that's not so bad either. Got to eat, and if you eat, you got to work. So there you go. My. What else have we got on the calendar today? Now, no big announcements to make of any kind that I can see. No. Okay. I'm one of those that keeps track of things on a calendar. I was just looking at a big meeting I got coming up in September, and I was figuring out, well, I got about 1,320 hours to go to the big meeting in September. I'm looking forward to it, so, you never know what's going to happen. I plan ahead, I say. Anyway, interesting day yesterday and evening last night. Here we have, what is it about these politicians from Louisiana? What do you suppose is their deal in Louisiana? We had the almost Speaker of the House, Robert Livingstone, who we found out was visiting a Washington, D.C. prostitute dominatrix, and seemed like he liked to dress up in little leather suits and have women flogging with cat o' nine tails and what all. I don't know what all went on with that, riding like a little pony. And now we've got Senator Vitters from Louisiana. They got ornery boys down there in Louisiana, that's for sure. In the year 2000, you know, Vitters was included in a Newhouse News Service story about the strain of congressional careers on families, and his wife, Wendy, was asked by the Newhouse News reporter if her husband was as unfaithful as former President Bill Clinton, would she be as forgiving as Hillary Clinton? And Vitter's wife, lovely wife, Wendy, said, and I quote, "I'm a lot more like Lorena Bobbitt than Hillary," end quote. Wendy Vitter told Newhouse News. She said, if he does something like that, I'm walking away with one thing, and it's not alimony, trust me. She said, I think fear is a very good motivating factor in a marriage. Don't put fear down. So, I don't know. Interesting story on this Vitters. As you well know now, by now, he has been caught and admitted visiting a Washington, D.C. madam, partaking of the services of prostitutes in Washington, D.C., this United States senator, and he's certainly not the first one to ever do that. But it's just the fact that the guy is another one. He was in the House of Representatives before he was senator. The fact that he was just so holier than thou toward Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton got caught up in that little tete-a-tete with Monica Lewinsky. At least Bill wasn't paying. At least he had enough magnetism to draw somebody towards him rather than have to go out and spend his money on a prostitute. My God. Mr. Vitters, please. But seriously, the Beltway Madam has done a lot less harm to the country than the courtiers in Versailles on the Potomac. And the last I saw, and they're vilifying this woman right now. The last I saw, she hadn't led us into a war, killed thousands of people, and authorized torture, or destroyed the Constitution, or anything like that. She's quite simply a madam taking care of booking a few prostitutes. But Mr. Bush's people, they're all so holier than thou. And, you know, her name is Deborah Pelfrey, by the way. Compare her to Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol in Washington, D.C. And I have to ask the question, and I know some of you would disagree with me, but who's the finer human being there? Is it Bill Kristol, a guy that helped formulate this policy and helped beat the drums for this war and get thousands of Americans killed and hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis? Or is it some woman making a living being a purveyor of prostitution? I don't know. I'm asking. What do you think? We're going to talk a little bit about Sicko today, a little later on if we get time. I've got quite a little bit to say about that. Did considerable reading over the weekend about the healthcare system in this country. Feel a little more knowledgeable about it right now. There's a lot to learn, that's for certain. But I'm wondering, did you see David Boies last night with Dan Abraham? You know, Dan Abraham, his complete agreement. MSNBC completely restructured their whole schedule in the evening. Now Tucker's no longer on at 4 o'clock. I think we've got Hardball at 5 and then Tucker at 6. And I guess Hardball on again at 7. I didn't watch it during the 7 o'clock hour. Then 8 o'clock, Keith. And then 9 o'clock, now Dan Abrams is on at 9 o'clock now. I guess the Scarborough is going to be on in the morning. I didn't hear that for sure, but that must be what the deal is. But, you know, he had Dan Abram last night, and he had David Boies on, and Boies, as you know, was Al Gore's attorney. And Boies made a curious statement, I think. He said, we can't impeach a president just because we don't like him and because he's unpopular. And I think Boies was trying to ride both sides of the fence. So my question is, why not? If he's unpopular, how did he get unpopular? If we don't like him, why don't we like him? In this case, We don't like. We know that's. We know it's not a personality thing, don't we? This was the guy who early on, everybody said, oh, I'd love to go have a beer with George Bush. So they liked his personality. They liked the guy. Very affable personality. Back-slapping, handshaking, joke-telling kind of guy. So it's not that America didn't like George Bush. That's not it at all. It's what he did to earn their disrespect is the reason that he ought to be impeached. Why was Clinton impeached? The Republicans didn't like him. They didn't like the fact that he'd gotten their way of you know, paving the way for a one-party rule. They hated him. And that's the only reason they impeached him. Certainly not for his performance. I think we can all agree it wasn't for that. It couldn't have been for that. And certainly not because he was unpopular. We all know that isn't true. One of the most popular presidents we've ever had. And they didn't convict him of any high crimes and misdemeanors because there weren't any of any consequence to the American public. You know, the Congress of the United States was going to impeach Nixon for lesser crimes than this administration is guilty of. So I think David Boies last night and Dan Abrams' comments were way off base. They sound like a couple of inside the Beltway cocktail circuit boys not wanting to offend their friends, and I'm sure there's some of that. They ought to let David Schuster. Did you catch David Schuster last week filling in for Tweety Bird? Schuster won't let politicians come on the show when he's hosting it and kind of dance around the issues. Oh, no. Schuster, let him have it. Let's let David Schuster, you know, he's the chief correspondent for Matthews. Let him state the case for the impeachment on Hardball. He tells the truth and really doesn't allow these mamby-pamby commentators to get away with these pointless and totally false comments like going on last night. Even Matthews, and I'm sure you've noticed, even Matthews is getting tougher. Last evening he told, what was his name? Republican Representative King. Said if you'd paid attention, you would know why Scooter Libby, what Scooter Libby said to get impeached. So Matthews toughened up a little bit on the whole deal last night, I thought. And did you see Dan Burton recently on Hardball? I think he was on there last Friday evening. In Indiana, the people thought... And I wonder if you feel the way I do. There are pockets of constituencies around the country, voters around the country, that you really have to scratch your head and wonder about, don't you? You know, Bush, okay. A lot of us don't like Bush, but like I said earlier, he's a fairly, I don't know, early on everybody thought he was a fairly friendly character, had something going for him personality-wise. But you get guys like this Dan Burton of Indiana. How the hell does a guy like that get elected? Even after the Clinton impeachment, the Indiana people thought Burton was worthy of re-election. How does anybody like him get back in the good graces, or stay in the good graces, rather, of the public? You remember, he tried to subpoena the Clinton White House to get their email that he thought contained... campaign finance irregularity information. And then Burton was forced to acknowledge, after being all high and mighty about Clinton, holier than thou, he was forced to acknowledge that he had fathered a child with a woman with whom he'd had an extramarital affair in the early 1980s. Remember, this was the guy who had called Bill Clinton a scumbag. And, you know, this Congressman Burton was, by all accounts, completely discredited. But his voters back home in Indiana thought, hell, this is a stand-up guy. He's one of us. Let's keep him in Congress. Folks in Indiana, is he really one of you? What an ass this man is. And you don't have to watch him talk for more than about 30 seconds to understand that he is an ass. No doubt about it. But the voters back home say, yeah, he's our guy. Let's put him back in Congress. We have this two-faced, hypocritical SOB be the people's representative. What the hell's wrong with these people? And as long as we're talking about hypocrisy, we all fondly remember the words and deeds of Lindsey Graham during the Clinton administration, the Clinton impeachment. You remember the good old boy from South Carolina, former JAG member? You know, in South Carolina, they reward him for his wingnut behavior. And they elevate him to the rank of senator. No comments so far on the Libby commutation from this hypocritical geek. None at all. He wouldn't dare, would he? And let's remember, there are a lot of Republicans right now who would like to have Newt Gingrich as their president. He may be king of the hypocrites, but that's okay. He's a Republican. And, of course, the latest story here about Senator Vitter. And, you know, going through Republicans that I'm not too pleased with right now, how about Fred Thompson? Interesting, don't you think, that Fred Thompson is out championing the causes of the right? Especially the issue of abortion, and now we find that he was hired as a lobbyist for a pro-choice group back in the 80s? And he denies this. Well, not an actual denial, he just doesn't remember working for them. And there have been many witnesses come forward and say, yes, he did work for him. But hey, there was money involved. I just want everybody on the Republican side of the fence to remember that Fred isn't some white knight riding in on a white horse who's going to save the Republican Party and take them back to their so-called family values platform. He's a political whore, no different than hundreds of others in Washington and around the nation. Guys like him have moral values until there's money to be put in their pockets. The money always seems to trump the values, doesn't it? Certainly did in Fred Thompson's case. And speaking of moral values, I'm sure many of you have seen the revelations that came to light in the past week or so. It was no secret, just something that's been covered up and buried for a long time. We find out that it was Fred Thompson who tipped off the Nixon White House to the fact that the Irvin Committee had found out that there were Oval Office tapes of Nixon's conversation concerning Watergate. Yeah. And so Fred Thompson went to the White House gang and told them that they'd been found out. And shortly after that, the mysterious gaps in the tapes appeared. Doesn't that seem to have a particularly foul odor to it? Doesn't that show that this guy would do anything to ingratiate himself to others for the purpose of climbing the political ladder, which is exactly what he did? He did climb the political ladder after that, now didn't he? Yes. Made himself very popular with a lot of folks. Ratted out the Irving Commission so that Nixon had forewarning of the fact that Irvin and the guys were going to try and get a hold of those tapes. And to talk a little bit further about some of these hypocritical Republicans, we already know that one of the darlings of the right, Mr. Tough Guy, Rudy Giuliani, has backtracked on tough sentencing of criminals after hearing his stance on the Libby commutation. He wanted to be tough on everybody except Scooter Libby. And Romney? Same thing. He didn't pardon and bragged about it, didn't pardon or commute the sentence of anyone when he was the governor. And he bragged about it. But he's okay with this Libby commutation. And I know some of you listen and say, hey, you're not being fair. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not suffering any under any illusion that there aren't plenty of Democrats who are hypocritical as well. No illusions whatsoever. There doesn't seem to be any particular distinction between the two parties when it comes to grabbing the money for political or personal reasons. And frankly, while watching the movie Sicko the other night, if something came to light that I didn't know, the idea that Hillary Clinton is the second leading recipient of money from the insurance and HMO groups is deeply disturbing to me. And I can only hope that her actions on the issue of single-payer health care will, well, I hope will dispel any notion that she's in their pocket. I hope her actions will show us that. I'm just so damn sick of this whole political nightmare we're living through right now. These are times when it seems like sometimes it seems like it's not worth fighting against the status quo that we're suffering through. There's times when you just want to throw up your hands and say to hell with it. And then you realize that's what the majority of Americans have already done. And that the politicians are taking full advantage of the situation, of the apathy. Then you realize that someone has to help change things. And like it or not, that someone is you and I. The alternative isn't pretty. Not very pretty at all. So do keep that in mind. When we talk about impeachment, when we talk about the worth of many of these politicians, we're not being partisan about that whatsoever. Just as they used to say in the old Dragnet show, just the facts, ma'am. That's how I feel about it. And I know we make comments on this program every once in a while, throw a little barb at the Republicans here and there, but when we talk about any substantive issues, we try and bring you the facts always. And we try not to slant it. Because if we did, I think we'd lose our credibility. And I'm not going to talk in the third person. I would lose my credibility if I stood up and backed everything. It's William Jefferson, for example, right now. A lot of people, his constituency, backing him and saying, oh, he didn't do it. Hey, throw his ass out. People like Jim Traficant, currently doing time for corruption. He's where he belongs. He's a Democrat. Not my kind of Democrat, but he is where he belongs. Claiming political persecution and all that. Oh, poor guy. Now, doesn't matter if they got an R or a D behind their name. If they're crooks, liars, and thieves, they should be gone. And I'm always in favor of that. Always. We're going to take a quick break now. We'll be back in just a moment or two.
Bring it on!
Your calendar for Saturday evening, July 21st, because at 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern, Billy Shears will be right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. You're going to just love night sounds. We'll have plenty of great music and more. So, is it a date? We'll be waiting for you, Saturday night, July 21st. Be there.
Carry on now.
All this month at Cheney's, it's the Warfest Breakfast. A delicious combo of Cheney's favorites, including three strips of sizzling Guantanamo bacon, two eggs served sunny side up yours, hash brown shirts fried to Aryan perfection, oil-drenched terrorist links. And you won't need a warrant for these waffles. So come with an appetite for weapons of mass destruction and leave quagmired in satisfaction. Eat at Cheney's. Don't torture yourself.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. prize.
Head on radionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Got our guest, David Swanson, coming up in about, 14 minutes or so. Looking forward to talking to Dave again. Heck of a guy. Interesting guy and well-informed guy. You want to talk about impeachment? David's the guy to talk to. David Swanson coming up around 3:40 today, so do stay tuned for that. You'll enjoy the interview with him. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program. If you've got minutes to burn, call us at 941-876-6896. We'd love to have you join the program today. You know, I'm a guy that loves statistics. Don't ask me why. I'm a numbers kind of guy. And I found a stat the other day that must make Junior Bush feel really, really good. You know, we all saw him speaking to that captive audience on July the 4th, dressed in fatigues. How surprising that is. Thought he ought to suck on this for a while. 7 American presidents are viewed favorably by at least 80% of all Americans. 7. Those esteemed 7 are led by the first president, George Washington, the father of our country. He's viewed favorably by 94% of Americans. I wonder what the other 6%. Wonder why they didn't like George Washington. I wonder. I always wonder about the other side of the coin. The 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, is the second most popular. The man who gave us the Gettysburg Address is viewed favorably by 92% of the people. And again, who are these 88% that don't like Abe Lincoln? And then the next 5 in order are Thomas Jefferson at 89%, Teddy Roosevelt at 84%, Franklin Roosevelt at 81%, and John Kennedy at 80%. Now, that's great for those guys, but let's take a look at the other side of the coin, actually. The highest unfavorable rating for any president is earned by Richard Nixon. 60% of Americans have an unfavorable opinion of the only president to resign from office. 32% have a favorable opinion of the man who, is famous for being the first one to go to China. But close on Nixon's heels for the most unpopular is the current president, Junior George W. Bush. 59%. 59% of Americans have an unfavorable opinion of him. I'm saying let's just give Dickie Jr. just a little bit of time. Just a little bit more time. That's all he needs to slide around Tricky Dick Nixon and become the number one most unpopular president that we have ever had. I would be so ashamed. My God. I don't care if you're emperor of the world or in the local high school class or 5th grade, to be last in your group, to be the last. It's an ugly thing. They've got an award for that at the Service Academy, I think at West Point. I can't think what it is right now. But whoever finishes last in the class gets this reward. Now that, God, what a great distinction that would be. I don't think I'd care for it. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to call the program. One of our good friends of the program sent me a great little story here. It says, too funny not to pass on, and I agree. If you're ready for a little levity today, On a trip to Great Britain, George Bush had a meeting with Queen Elizabeth. He asked her, "How does one manage to run a country so smoothly?" "That's easy," she replied. "You surround yourself with intelligent ministers and advisors." And then Junior said, "But how can I tell whether they're intelligent or not?" "Well," replied the Queen, "you ask them a riddle." And with that, she pressed a button and said, "Would you please send Tony Blair in?" And when Tony Blair arrived, the Queen said, "I have a riddle for you to answer for me. Your parents had a child, and it was not your sister, and it was not your brother. Who was this child?" And Blair replied, "That's easy, Your Highness. The child was me." "Very good," said the Queen. "You may go now." So President Bush went to Washington and called in his chief of staff, Karl Rove, and he said to him, "I've got a riddle for you, and the answer is very important. Your parents had a child, and it was not your sister, and it was not your brother. Who is this child?" And Karl Rove replied in very Rovian fashion, "Yes, it is clearly very important that we determine the answer, as no child must be left behind. Can I deliberate on this for a while?" "Yes," said Bush. "I'll give you 4 hours to come up with the answer." So Rove went and called a meeting of the White House staff, and he asked them the riddle, but after much discussion and many suggestions, none of them had a satisfactory answer. So he was very upset, not knowing what he would tell the president. And as Rove was walking back to the Oval Office, he saw former Secretary of State Colin Powell approaching him. So he said, "Mr. Secretary, can you answer this riddle for me? Your parents had a child, and it was not your sister, and it was not your brother. Who was the child?" "That's easy," said Powell. "The child was me." "Thank you," said Rove. "You may have just saved my job." So Rove went into the Oval Office, and he said to President Bush, "I think I know the answer to your riddle. The child was Colin Powell." "No, you idiot," shouted Bush. "The child was Tony Blair." And that's where we have the sound effects that come on and go, wah, wah, wah. 866-546-5254. We're going to have Dave Swanson coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk about impeachment today. How do you feel about impeachment? I don't have ambivalence on the subject whatsoever. I don't feel bad in wanting Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney impeached. I think they richly deserve it, both of them. It has nothing to do about their personalities with it. Nothing. Yeah, while it's true, I have never found any redeeming graces in the very objectionable Richard Cheney. That doesn't have anything to do with it. There have been other people in the White House and the Vice President's office that I just didn't like, but hell, I didn't want them impeached because I didn't like them. It's because they had earned it, if I really wanted them impeached. And you know, thinking back, except for Nixon, I can't recall. In fact, I will say unequivocally that I never asked for anybody else to be impeached. Never. So it's not like every Republican president comes along that I'm sitting here saying, "Oh, you know, let's impeach him." As a partisan matter, that's not it at all. It's that these people have earned it. It's got nothing to do with partisanship, nothing at all. It's got everything to do with lots of crimes, unsavory acts committed inside the White House and on behalf of the White House with the full knowledge of the White House and the Vice President's office. Some very unseemly things have happened in this country during this tenure of the Bush administration, you'll have to admit. And as partisan as some of you might be toward Republicans, you'll have to admit that some of the actions of Junior Bush have been very unseemly. May not have been actually judged as illegal, but highly unethical, maybe immoral. Kind of a really ugly situation. 866-546-5254. Give us a call here at the Guy James Show. We'd like to hear from you on this Tuesday. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hello.
Of course, I'm for impeachment and have been for quite a while. The thing is about these people, every day they do destructive things, and what have we got, like a year and a half or 2 years?
Yes.
I mean, and if we don't get out of Iraq, how many more people are going to be killed at the rate we're going now is, what is it, averages out about 10 a day? 10 times 300 and something, that's another 3,000.
Yeah. Well, and, it's getting ugly, getting very ugly, uglier, I mean.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention something quickly that I saw on C-SPAN. I was just turning dials, and lo and behold, here was a guy. I can't remember his name, but he was the male prostitute that was the in the
Oh, Jeff
White
Gannon.
House.
Jeff Gannon.
Yeah, and he was hosting a program, some kind of a
really
newspaper program. Yeah.
Oh.
And I forget the Republican's name that he introduced and said, "Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you." You know. No.
Oh my. My,
I didn't really stay to listen to it, but he was there big as life.
Hard to imagine. I'm going to have to find out what that was all about.
Yeah, I just was turning to some kind of a press program, and he was hosting it.
Oh, boy. Now, that's interesting.
I think it was a rerun, you know.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But I just wanted to put that little bit in.
All righty. Hey, thanks for calling. Good
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're going to pause for a break right now, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have our guest with us, David Swanson. Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Very glad to have each and every one of you along with us this afternoon. And as promised, we have David Swanson with us now from AfterDowningStreet.org and Impeach Cheney. Impeach Cheney, that's a .org as well, isn't it? Yeah. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Good to be here.
Did I have that right? Impeach Cheney's a .org as well, right?
ImpeachCheney.org is the place to go. I think if you put .com, it'll work too. But
oh. Oh, you covered your bases in both ways. Hey, here we are. We've got lots of people now starting to say the I word, impeachment. And, of course, you've been after it for a long time. I've been after it for a long time. But I see people on TV all the time being a little sanctimonious about it. I think I mentioned earlier that I saw David Boies, the former attorney for Al Gore during the big election mess last night, saying, well, we just can't impeach a guy because we don't like him or because he's unpopular. And I found that to be a very flippant comment from what I know to be a very intelligent guy. Why do people go on and say stuff like that?
Because the people who say stuff like that get put on. This is how the producers operate, and therefore this is the pundits you end up with. But I actually thought we had broken through that myth quite some time back. Congressman Conyers published a report 2 years ago listing many of the specific felonies violated by, committed by Bush and Cheney. It's illegal to mislead the Congress. It's illegal to torture. It's illegal to detain without charge. It's illegal to violate the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act in your spying programs, which they openly confess to. I could go on for an hour listing the specific crimes, but the fact of the matter is he's wrong. Impeachment is a political process. An impeachable offense does not have to be a crime, and you can impeach someone for being incredibly unpopular.
Well, he was mentioning last night, he said, well, the Congress doesn't have the authority to impeach somebody just because they don't like him. Again, he wanted to use that little caveat in there. But as we all know, and as you just mentioned, there's a plethora of crimes that, yeah, they haven't gone to court, but wouldn't impeachment trial be the proper court for many of these charges?
It's the one and only place to go. The president and vice president should be charged in criminal court as soon as possible or once they are out of office. But unless we impeach them and try them in the Senate, the people of the United States have not held them accountable and have not sent a message to future administrations that these sorts of crimes and abuses are unacceptable. The Constitution gives the House of Representatives this power as that body closest to the people to represent our concerns, and says that impeachment is for treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. That is, abuses of office, crimes that can be committed only by someone in those positions. And those are the crimes we're looking at. Bush and Cheney are openly defying subpoenas on a daily basis. That was Article 3 passed by the Judiciary Committee against Nixon. They're rewriting laws with signing statements. The Constitution does not give them that right. And I love the one that Bruce Fein, the Deputy Attorney General for Reagan, pointed out a week or so ago in Slate magazine, that the Constitution does not allow the president to transfer the president's duties to the vice president. The list of impeachable offenses is enormous.
And Bruce Fein, not exactly a partisan Democrat.
No. Larry Wilkerson, Colin Powell's chief of staff, coming to our events and preaching impeachment. The Republicans are coming around. We may have Republicans on board for impeachment before we have 30 Democrats.
Well, that's the thing. What do you think of this argument? Well, there's a year and a half left in his tenure. What can we do? It wouldn't be over with in a year and a half. Maybe we would just look like a bunch of partisan hacks trying to get even for Bill Clinton if we did this. What do you think of that argument?
No past impeachment process has ever taken a year and a half or even half a year. We've already wasted over half a year avoiding impeachment, accomplishing virtually nothing, dumping another $100 billion on an illegal occupation, which is incredibly unpopular and hurts the Democrats. When the Democrats moved on impeachment against Nixon, which, by the way, took about 3 months and he was out of town, they then won the biggest electoral victories in a generation when they backed off on Reagan, so they could be smart and wait it out. They lost and gave us the Bush dynasty and left many of these criminals free. When Clinton was impeached and then tried in the Senate, it took a total of 4 months. Now, it was a wasted 4 months. It was not an impeachable offense, but it didn't take a year and a half, and it didn't stop Congress from doing its job. Congress can walk and chew gum at the same time. And, you know, the Nixon impeachment process was actually necessary, those 3 months, to bring out evidence of crimes. Here we have all the evidence of the crimes sitting in front of us, right? In theory, you could impeach each of these guys in a day. It's not clear what the months of process would be needed for when the crimes are if not on videotape or in writing, are openly confessed to.
Yes, that's the thing. And why do you think, I mean, it's hard to understand a major political party in this country being so, I don't know what the word is for it anymore. They've got to be smarter than this politically, the Democrats. What do you think is holding them back? What's the, you know, is it lack of just plain courage? Do they really think a 27% or 6% president's going to do them harm?
Yeah, they do, and it's bizarre. I mean, one of the problems with the abuse of power that we've seen over the past 6 years is this exaggerated shifting of all power to the White House, so that everyone in Washington now understands that Congress is primarily a bunch of court jesters, and all power resides in the office of the president and vice president. And so the big question on everyone's mind is, will that be a Republican or a Democrat? And this is where the focus goes. And of course, Hillary Clinton, as one of the, you know, quote-unquote leading Democratic candidates, according to the corporate media, is dead set against impeachment. She thinks it would remind people of Bill Clinton's impeachment, which is the last thing she wants. And she's very close to Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is dead set against impeachment. She parroted Republican National Committee talking points that impeachment would be good for Republicans a year ago in May, and has stuck by it ever since, against all evidence. All evidence, you know, from 230 years of history suggests that impeachment would be good for the Democrats, and they're hurting themselves by not allowing it to move forward. And many of the Democrats in Congress understand that and are reluctant to go against Pelosi. So we need Pelosi to back off to a neutral position and let her colleagues make up their own minds.
Where are you placing your bets on whether she'll do that or not?
I'm not, because I'm not a pundit, and I'm a citizen, and so I'm putting all of my energy into forcing her to do it. And I'm working with a friend of mine named Cindy Sheehan, who launched today a march from Texas to D.C., a march / drive. She's not walking the whole way. And when this crowd of people gets to D.C. on the 23rd, we're going to go to John Conyers' office and ask him to impeach, and he can send us to jail if he needs to. But Cindy Sheehan is going to announce that day that she's running for the 8th Congressional District of California against Nancy Pelosi. And this may seem crazy. She's not a professional politician, and we probably won't impeach anyone in 2009 if she wins. But Albert Wynn was an absolutely useless congressman until he almost lost a primary last time to Donna Edwards. She's challenging him again, and he was the first to sign on to Kucinich's bill for impeachment. So we have to hit them where they feel it, and that's in the voting booth.
What do you think? You know, I haven't spoken to Cindy lately. In fact, I haven't spoken to her since she's kind of like hung up her shoes there for a while.
Right.
What do you think has prompted her to come back again? She just couldn't follow through in what she said?
Well,
she just couldn't stay in retirement over this?
No, she couldn't, and I never thought she would be able to, and I'm glad she couldn't. We need her. We need everybody we can get in this fight. And she was tired. She was burned out. She had so much pressure on her for years. And she got a couple weeks off, and she started thinking, look, I don't know if we can accomplish anything or not, but we have a responsibility to try. And she called me a couple of days ago and said, I'm optimistic again. I mean, she actually thinks that we can end this occupation of Iraq and we can impeach at least Cheney, if not Bush. She's optimistic. And a lot of people are getting optimistic. And a lot of people know now that we're a majority. I mean, it took us years to get a poll done. We now have a poll saying 54% of us want to impeach Cheney. That's going to be over 60% as soon as anybody hears about it, because people like to be with a majority. And, you know, impeachcheney.org is a website. It's also the number one video on YouTube. People are getting a sense that this is possible. True Majority emailed its people today, impeach Cheney. MoveOn.org, of all things, has started talking about impeaching. You know, an endless list of activist groups that were opposed and Congress members that were opposed are talking about impeachment. It gives people optimism, and optimism makes people work for it. And when people work for it, it happens.
Are you talking about Robert Greenwald's piece on impeachment?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's a great piece, by the way. We had a chance to meet up with Bob during the Take Back America conference in Washington, and he's I like the fact that he's gone to a lot of these small projects like this and just bang, bang, bang in rapid fire with them. I think it's very effective.
Yeah, we sat down with him at that conference and brainstormed this idea, and it and we were aiming for the end of July, but we moved it up. We moved it up because of the Washington Post profile of Cheney, Cheney declaring he was not part of the executive branch, and then Bush, you know, throwing gasoline on that fire with commuting Scooter's sentence. It looked like the moment to put it out there.
Oh, it certainly was. It was a great time to put it out there. Patrick Leahy and John Conyers, you mentioned Conyers. Don't these two fellas, and I like them both. They're very personable guys and all, and got pretty good records. But don't they seem particularly ineffective at the moment when they come before the public and have to grovel to, you know, Leahy especially lately with these subpoenas that they're being literally thrown in his face. It does look like groveling to this White House to me.
The Democrats are by intention and by their own choice weak here. They have a tool given to them by the Constitution, takes up more room than anything else in the Constitution. It's discussed at some length. It's the central tool in their power, and they've put it off the table. And I mean, this is like a labor union saying, we will never strike, right? They can threaten other things, but no one will ever listen to them. They have no power because they've taken that off the table. It's not that they would have to strike every week, but they have to have that back there in their toolbox. And the Democrats have nothing now. And so they can subpoena, and the White House can say, forget it. We have no interest. We're not inclined to comply with your subpoenas. And all they can do is reword their subpoenas, make speeches on the floor, whine, beg, threaten, you know, exclaim what horrors have been committed, how hypocritical the White House is. But they end up just looking weak. And this falls squarely in the lap of John Conyers as the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Now, there are things that Leahy could do, including advocating for impeachment, including working with Senator Rockefeller to release some of the reports that they whined for years in the minority that the Republicans wouldn't put out. But we haven't seen a report on the lies that took us into this war with the Democrats in the majority. So there are things they could do that they're afraid to touch.
And all the while they were in the minority, we kept hearing from them, well, we've got to pick our battles. They never did pick one. but here they are now in the majority in the House especially, and still they're not picking any battles. They're not fighting any battles. They're not considering any tough battles at all.
That's right. And on the war, they whine about how they don't have two-thirds to override a veto. Well, they have no responsibility to pass any bills to fund this occupation. They can say, that's it, no more bills, bring our men and women home, end it. You've got more than enough to safely bring everyone home five times over, do it. And if it comes up in the Senate, they have the votes to filibuster it and end it that way. But they've taken these tools off the table and said, it's our responsibility to pass war bills and try to water them down and make them sound like anti-war bills and then whine about how we don't have two-thirds to override a veto. This is nonsense. And they have the power to start impeachment proceedings now and to get Republicans on board with it. The Republicans are backing away from Bush and Cheney, and the Democrats are afraid to go on the offensive.
There are many Republicans right now, and you're starting to see the real chinks in the armor. They're starting to fall away from this guy finally. They're seeing the, you know, he's radioactive. They're not going to go near him in an election cycle. And you're exactly right. Now is the time, if there ever was a time. Now, I mean, he's severely weakened, and I don't say that I'm because I'm happy about it. I'm not happy that we've got a weak president. God, I'm not happy at all. I wish George Bush had acted admirably as the president, even though he's a Republican. I wish he'd done great things, even though he's a Republican. It doesn't make any difference to me. But now's the time if you're gonna do anything to these guys and make them feel the sting of an impeachment charge. And it's who knows? I don't know if it's going to gain much steam or not. I do hope so. I certainly know that you've been working hard towards it. You got any speaking engagements coming up soon? I know you get around the country pretty well speaking to groups.
Well, I try not to because I have a wife and a one-year-old little boy here at home, and I try to see them. But Cindy Sheehan is, you know, as I said, left Texas today and is headed up to D.C., and she'll be coming through my town of Charlottesville, Virginia, and we'll have a big rally on Friday the 20th, and then we'll head up to D.C., and we'll march from Arlington National Cemetery to John Conyers' office, and we will read the Constitution aloud and sit and not be moved, and he can arrest us if need be, but we will ask him to come through and do his duty. And he knows what it is, and half of him wants that pressure from us, and we're hoping that that better half of him comes through, and comes through before the 23rd of this month. But we will keep the pressure up until it works, and I'm increasingly confident that we'll get there.
David, I want to thank you for being with us today. I want to thank you for all you do. Give our regards to Cindy. I hope this is a highly successful mission that you're on. It's very meaningful, and if you can get the word out and maybe tip John Conyers the right way, why, maybe we'll get some action on this.
We'll try. I appreciate your show and everything you're doing day in and day out.
Thanks so much. David Swanson, ladies and gentlemen. AfterDowningStreet.org and ImpeachCheney.org. You'll want to visit both those sites. Very dynamic guy, David Swanson. You know, I didn't know until just a couple of days ago that Cindy Sheehan was going to come back into the political arena again, and I'm glad she has. The woman's got incredible courage. I'm glad she's took a breather and built back up her stamina again. I think you could see it in Cindy's face for a long time that she was tired and she had been beaten down, and all the political pressure on her and all the right-wing pundits attacking her day after day after day. And all she ever did to anybody was have a son that got killed and spoke out about it because it was wrong. It's the only reason she ever deserved. Well. Oh, boy. Things are upside down, are they not? Just absolutely upside down. I hate it. Well, maybe David and Cindy and some of these folks can get things going again, put enough pressure on some of these people in the halls of Congress. And you know, you mentioned something there a lot of people don't know. You can go to your congressman's office in Washington. You don't need a special pass. You can go in and knock on their door and walk in there in their reception room and talk to their people, if not them. And so I suggest you do that. Important. We're going to pause for news now, coming up at the top of the hour here on the Guy James Show, proud member of the Head On Radio Network. We hope you'll be here when the news is over. We expect that you will be. We'll be back in just a moment after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is speaking at a town hall meeting today in Cleveland. Administration officials say the president will address Iraq and that he does not plan to make any changes to his war strategy despite mounting disapproval from both Democrats and Republicans. The White House says the last of the additional troops just arrived in Iraq 2 weeks ago and calls for withdrawal are premature. In Islamabad, a leading radical cleric from the pro-Taliban Red Mosque was killed when he refused to surrender. Earlier today, after negotiations broke down, Pakistani troops stormed the compound, killing the cleric and 60 militants. 8 soldiers were also killed during the raid. Militant students 8 days ago took hostages and a mosque as part of a campaign to impose Islamic law in the capital city. Russia says it will not extradite Andrei Lugovoy to Britain to face murder charges for the poisoning death of an ex-KGB agent who was critical of the Kremlin. Britain says they have enough evidence to charge Lugovoy with the murder of Alexander Litvinenko, adding Russia's lack of cooperation is unacceptable. On Capitol Hill, the chairman of the House and Senate Judiciary Committee says the president's use of executive privilege will have to be decided in court. Yesterday, the president evoked executive privilege and denied the testimony of former administration officials subpoenaed to testify in the hearings related to the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. In New Jersey, federal prosecutors are petitioning the court to keep the names of potential jury members in the Fort Dix terrorism trial secret. Attorneys say jurors may be fearful of reprisal because of the international publicity surrounding the case. 6 men are charged with conspiring to kill soldiers at the New Jersey Army base. In London, a jury today was unable to reach a verdict in the trial of the last 2 suspected terrorists charged with planning to bomb the city's transit system 2 years ago. 4 others were convicted yesterday in the same case. In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, legislators and the governor resolved the state's budget crisis last night. Yesterday, nearly a third of the state's workforce was temporarily laid off as a result of the budget impasse. In Sanford, Florida, a small plane crashed into 2 homes today, killing the pilot and a passenger and 3 on the ground, including a child. The twin-engine Cessna was en route to Lakeland, Florida from Daytona Beach when it encountered problems and attempted an emergency landing at Orlando's International Airport. And New York is bracing for the first heat wave of the season. 300 cooling centers have been opened, and utility crews are attempting to prevent power outages. Scorching temperatures in the city last summer killed 40. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Coming up next, science and business.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
A team from the California Institute of Technology has found glimpses of the most distant and oldest galaxies ever seen. The team used the giant Keck telescope in Hawaii to make the discovery and view the light that has been traveling for billions of years. China today executed the former head of its Food and Drug Administration. Beijing said the official's corruption resulted in a recent series of contaminated pharmaceuticals, pet food, children's toys, and toothpaste. In Zimbabwe, 33 executives have been arrested and more than 1,300 companies fined for refusing the government's order to cut prices in half. Zimbabwe's inflation rate is between 5 and 9,000%, the highest in the world. It is the most expensive real estate listing in the country. In Beverly Hills, William Randolph Hearst's 29-bedroom pink stucco mansion is being offered for $165 million. Consumer borrowing surged to nearly $13 billion in May, the largest increase in 6 months. The 6.4% jump was twice what the Federal Reserve had originally predicted. And Sprint Nextel has dropped 1,000 subscribers claiming they called the company's customer service line too many times. America's third largest wireless provider terminated the subscribers' contract without charge and waived the final payments on the final bills. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.25 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange and on Wall Street. The Dow is down 112 points and the NASDAQ is down 25. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on the second hour of the Guy James Show today. It's good to have you along with us. It really is. And you can join the program by giving us a call at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Or if you'd like to help out the very frugal Guy James Show by using up some of your message minutes, if you've got them to spare, you can call us at 941-876-6896. I noticed during the news that they said that the Hearst Mansion, the William Randolph Hearst Mansion, was for sale, the highest priced piece of residence in the country at $165 million. $165 million. What is that? Is that the one called San Simeon? I'm not sure. $165 million. What if you offered them like $161 million, something like that? Maybe all my realtor friends can let me know. Do you think an offer of $161 million would stick? $161.5 million, okay. I'm gonna have to check on a mortgage for that. I don't know what would be the house payments on $161.5 million. Be right up there. Oh, I jest. And also I saw on the news, heard on the news, where Sprint is dumping 1,000 customers because the customers called customer service too much, just dumped them. You don't suppose any of those 1,000 people had a reason to call a customer service, do you? Is that what it's coming to with the big box companies nowadays, the big companies? That they can shave off 1,000 customers at a time just because they don't like the fact that the customers called in and complained about the service when probably they had some good complaints? That is the direction big business is taking nowadays, is it not? All this consolidation taking place, all these big companies getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, all taking a bigger bite out of the apple, so to speak. And so, what's 1,000 customers to Sprint now? So what? Hey, we don't like the way you talk to us. Get out of here. You're no longer wanted. 1,000 customers. Man, there was a day then that every last company in this country would beg to get 1,000 more customers, and now they just willy-nilly, they can cut 1,000 of them loose. I'm not saying they're all unjustified, but you got to know 1,000 people that call customer service too much. Probably some of them probably have some legitimate bitches, right? And one thing I did want to mention before I went too much farther on the program today. On his July 9th broadcast of his nationally syndicated radio show, well, let me just play it for you. Rush Limbaugh. One of my favorite people in all the world, as you well know. Lying bastard that he is.
The gals are conflicted out there about Hillary. They really don't like her, but it's just not right to say so or to think so. Let me read you some excerpts of this. The most appealing thing about Hillary Rodham Clinton has always been her enemies, who often seem not in their right mind, screaming that she is a murderer and calling her names like her thinness. Her enemies make you want to like her. Yet in, have you ever heard of that, her thinness? I've never heard of that term for Hillary. And I don't know who's accusing her of murdering anybody. Anyway. Yet in interviews across the country with women of all ages, races, income brackets, and points of view, one of the rare patches of common ground was skepticism about the first female presidential contender with a serious shot at it. Over 18 months, I traveled to 20 states, listening to women speak at length about what they care about, what drives them crazy as they look toward the presidential election in 08. I ought to like her, many of the strongest Democrats among them said, but on no other matter did left, right, and center converge as on the view best summed up as anybody but Hillary. To the point that
okay,
I...
That's enough of that, Rush. That's enough of that. The point being, Mr. Pills Limbaugh there, Mr. Drug Junkie Limbaugh, said earlier in that little piece that he was doing there that I don't know who's accusing her of murdering anybody. As you all know, I'm sure, and as was reported once again on Media Matters, it was Limbaugh himself that suggested that Hillary Clinton was a murderer on several occasions. I heard one of them myself. I happened to be tuned in to his program one day, and I've mentioned this before during my program, that Mr. Rush Limbaugh and Mr. B1 Bob Dornan were breathless. They went away to a commercial. They were having a discussion. Dornan was the guest, and they were absolutely breathless as they went away to a commercial saying, when we come back, we're going to have news about what really happened to Vince Foster. And this was March 10th of 1994. I don't have a soundbite from it, but I have the text. It says, okay, folks, this is Limbaugh talking. I think I've got enough information here to tell you about the contents of this fax that I got. Brace yourselves. This fax contains information that I've just been told will appear in a newsletter to Morgan Stanley sales personnel this afternoon. What it is a bit of news which says there's a Washington consulting firm that has scheduled the release of a report that will appear. It will be published that claims that Vince Foster was murdered in an apartment owned by Hillary Clinton and that the body was taken to Fort Marcy Park and dumped. Mm-hmm. Limbaugh took this baseless rumor from a small insider's newsletter and broadcast it to millions of people in his audience. Then he added his own little comments on it. I would add that that newsletter that he was talking about did not report that Vince Foster was murdered or that the apartment was owned by Hillary Rodham Clinton. And more recently, in September of 2005, and I would ask Mr. Limbaugh, of course, with his drug-addled mind, with what's left of it after all the drugs have eaten away at it over the years, slowly but most assuredly have eaten his brain away. In September of 2005, remember, this is a man who claims he never has heard anything about this. And I say again in September of 2005, Limbaugh repeatedly suggested that if anti-war protester Cindy Sheehan continued to criticize Clinton, she would end up, in Limbaugh's words, end up in Fort Marcy Park, end quote. On the September 19, 2005 broadcast, Limbaugh said of Sheehan, I will guarantee you she's already had the talking to. Somebody has gotten to her and said and done, if she calls her Clinton out one more time, that's it for Cindy Sheehan. On the following day's broadcast, Limbaugh said that Sheehan, quote, will not mention Clinton again, ladies and gentlemen, unless she wants to end up in Fort Marcy Park. Mark my words on it, end quote. Furthermore, on his January 22, 2007 broadcast, Mr. Limbaugh advised a caller to, once again, let me quote, go to Fort Marcy Park on the caller's upcoming visit to Washington, D.C., and see if you get out alive. So, once again, to those of you that listen and get the gospel from such trusted people as Mr. Drug Junkie Limbaugh and your Hannitys and your, oh, the whole disgusting group of them, Beck, Glenn Beck, and I've purposely shut some of the names out of my mind so they don't have to think about them. But you get your truth from these people. You get your truth from them. And you go out and spout their political positions every day, their talking points that they give you. And Limbaugh often makes light of the fact that his audience is a bunch of mind-numbed robots. They are. That's exactly what they are. He knows it and appreciates the fact because he's making some, what, $35 million a year off of these idiots that listen to his program every day. And you don't have to be an idiot to listen. You just have to be an idiot to listen to his program and accept what he says as any kind of truth at all, knowing this man's background and knowing his record on telling the truth. We have chronicled one situation after another on this program where Mr. Rush Limbaugh has lied out the wazoo about a big story, and this is another one that Hillary Clinton had Vince Foster murdered and his body dragged to Fort Marcy Park. And then he goes on his show just the other day and said, I'd never heard that before. I don't know who's accusing her of murdering anybody. Does it not bother you, ye who listen to his program? Does something like this not bother you? When you actually have the facts right here in front of your face, you listen to it with your own ears, and still, you can give this man any credibility whatsoever? Can you? And as you all know, we've mentioned this on this program several times, we know how people like him, Limbaugh, works. On Monday, he'll have somebody like a Bob Dornan call in, or maybe just a regular caller, and tell some ungodly, ridiculous story that has no truth to it whatsoever. And Limbaugh will always end the conversation, not always, but most of the time end the conversation saying, well, you know, you may have a point there. You might have a point. And then the following day, you'll hear Limbaugh say something like, well, you know, we heard yesterday. And in this particular case, it would have been, we heard yesterday that Hillary Clinton had Vince Foster murdered and his body dumped in Fort Marcy Park. We heard that yesterday. And then by Wednesday, you will hear Mr. Limbaugh say, well, we know for a fact that this is true. That's how he operates. That's how propagandists operate. That's the MO, the modus operandi of how a propagandist operates. They tell the big lie and start spreading it and elaborating on it over and over and over again. And you think that right-wing radio isn't responsible for a guy like Junior Bush being in office right now? If you don't think they are responsible, then you have not paid attention to the political scene in this country over the past couple of decades. Rush Limbaugh is as responsible for Junior Bush being in an office and getting away with the things he's gotten away with, as responsible as anybody else. And you heard him say it himself after this last congressional election. Well, and they took a humiliating loss. And some of Limbaugh's favorite people, Rick Santorum, man on dog Santorum, people like that were defeated, and Limbaugh took it hard and came on his program the next day and said, well, I'm not carrying their water anymore, implying that he had been carrying their water all these years. He knows it. They know it. You see, the way they operate is when they see Limbaugh say something stupid that they don't agree with, and I've brought this up to my very own Republican congressman here, called his office, and they'll tell you, oh, well, you know, Limbaugh, he's a comedian. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest comedian propagandist that ever lived in this country. Without question. Unfettered access to how many million people a day now? How many? I don't know, but it's a significant number. His ratings are down and all that, but still he's talking to a very, very significant number of Americans every single day. The thing I just don't understand is why? Why do people listen when they know the man is an out-and-out propagandist and a champion liar? And we can prove that over and over and over again in one case after another after another. Why does anyone put any credence whatsoever in what the man says? Would somebody explain that to me? I don't get it. I really don't. But he's got just as much dirt on his hands as anybody else. Blood on his hands. Helping this Bush machine do the things that they've done to this country. Rush Limbaugh is an evil, despicable character. And yet there are still several million people that listen to him every day and go, attaboy, Rush. You know, we've invited him every time one of these big stories is in, not a big story right now. They're getting, they're getting so frequent they're not big stories anymore. But every time he's caught in a fat lie like this anymore, I always email his people and invite him on the program to defend himself and accuse him of being a liar. Just flat out say, your man, your boy's a liar. Would he like to come on and clarify it or admit his mistake? Odd, like you never hear back from him. Odd, don't you think? Where are we going with this right now? All right. Let's hear the new Robert Greenwald on impeachment video, at least the audio of it here.
I, Richard Cheney, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter, so help me God.
Impeach Cheney, Article 1. Cheney has purposely manipulated the intelligence process by fabricating a threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction.
He has aggressively sought to acquire chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons.
Death on a massive scale.
He is using his procurement system to acquire the equipment he needs in order to enrich uranium to build a nuclear weapon.
Continuing chemical and biological weapons research.
That he is, in fact, actively and aggressively seeking to acquire nuclear weapons.
Simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends, against our allies, and against us.
Vice President Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional duty, has purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States.
Impeach Cheney, Article 2. Cheney has purposely manipulated the intelligence process by fabricating relations between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
There clearly was a relationship.
In Iraq on the one hand and the Al-Qaeda organization on the other.
It's been testified to. The evidence is overwhelming.
That there have been a number of contacts over the years. We've seen in connection with the hijackers, of course, Mohammed Atta.
It's high-level contacts between Osama bin Laden and Iraqi intelligence officials.
Vice President Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional duty, has purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States.
Impeach Cheney, Article 3. Cheney has openly threatened aggression against the Republic of Iran, undermining the national security of the United States.
We will stand with others to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating this region.
Iran, astride the world supply of oil, prepared to use terrorist organizations for their nuclear weapons to threaten their neighbors, and it's important that that not happen.
Is there realistically a military solution?
We haven't taken any options off the table.
We will stand with others to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating this region.
Vice President Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional duty, has openly threatened aggression against the Republic of Iran, undermining the national security of the United States.
Impeach Cheney for high crimes and misdemeanors. ImpeachCheney.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at 10 a.m. Eastern, where we'll take a closer look at Jeff Beckley. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll hear from Jeff in his own words, his thoughts on artistic creativity, his jazz influence, and on spirituality.
I'm not so sure that some guy in the sky with a beard baked you in an oven and put his finger in your belly button and that's how you came about.
We'll even hear that Nina Simone track that John Fox mentioned.
Lilac one.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Bring it on!
A happy glow. It's so fantastic.
there, everybody. You're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Kind of a lazy Tuesday afternoon. Hot, humid. I guess I could pretty well say it's hot. If you're listening here in the United States, I know a lot of you folks aren't in the United States, but those of you who are, I can pretty much say with a great deal of assurance that almost every place you are in the country, it's hot. But there's no global warming. No global warming. It's 107 in Boise, Idaho the other day, but there's no global warming. No. Oh, no. Al Gore's crazy, right? All the scientists he's got on his side, they're all crazy, right? They don't know anything, right? That's where the people from the American Enterprise Institute, which, by the way, have been on TV crowing about how crazy Al Gore is lately, just failed to mention they're being funded by ExxonMobil and the like. Odd, don't you think? 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join the program. We'd like to have you join the program. And if you want to use your minutes, you can call us at 941-876-6896. Let's head on over to the phone, speaking of telephones. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Lilo.
Hello.
I was listening earlier about your opinion of Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you that I indeed thought that he was a comedian. I was moving to a different city and didn't know my radio stations and so on, and I came across him, and he was so over the top that, I was sitting there laughing and so on, and, the joke was on me. The guy was dead earnest.
That's the scary part. When you realize that he is in dead earnest on a lot of the things he says, like, whoa.
Right.
Over the top? Absolutely.
Occasionally it was a little bit too much for me, but I really believed he was similar to Stephen Colbert, who definitely is purposely over the top.
Sure.
And has his character finally honed.
The sad part is, a lot of people, I would say over 90% of the people that would watch a Colbert show would know that he's having some fun with us.
Right.
But the sad part is 90% of Limbaugh's audience that listen to him day in, day out, they don't see anything funny about it. They think the guy is dead serious and always right.
That is true. Now, I suspect that some of these people, or many of these people, listen to him for the same reasons I listen to you. He is saying something that appeals to them.
Yes.
And many times he says something that the audience would like to say but don't have the nerve to say.
Yes.
And once he says it, it legitimizes some outrage, something, some lie, something that is over the top, some omission, whatever it is, it legitimizes it in their mind, and now they can talk about it also.
Yes, and put it out as truth. Because Rush said so, it must be true.
Correct, and I really think that people like him and Coulter, for example, are front people. That is, they come out with something really outrageous. It does get repeated in the blog, maybe in some other areas of the media, and eventually it can be mentioned by politicians.
Sure.
Or by the mainstream media.
Exactly.
And
he's got
So they fund it. They go out on the limb. Not that I feel sorry for them, but on something extreme and make it eventually a talking point.
Well, it's worked very well for them, hasn't it?
Right.
Worked very
right.
Well.
I don't know whether you listen to C-SPAN, the Washington Journal.
Yes, I do. When I can, I do.
when people call in on the Republican line, you can tell the Rush listeners.
Yeah.
There is a commonality of expression.
Exactly.
You can, yeah.
You're so right.
Yeah.
I just saw that one day last week. I saw it, and what you just said is absolutely true. You hear the talking points, you know exactly where they came from, and you know there are 5 million other people saying the same exact words that day, you know, because he's programmed them to do so.
Yeah. And it is literally the same word.
Sure. Oh, sure. Yes, I mean, think of all the terms that he's come up with now, the drive-by media, the feminazis, and terms like that. Those are terms that are very common in the vernacular of the Republican Party now, and they've been coined by Mr. Limbaugh.
Exactly. I mean, you can tell some listeners off the left, for example, when anyone talks about the Bush crime family, I immediately think a Malloy listener.
Sure.
So,
sure. I don't know if I have any of those traits or not. Is there anything that I say that you can readily identify and say, absolutely, Guy said that?
I don't think so.
So, I don't know whether, I don't know, to hear you say that, I don't know whether I've succeeded or failed. Maybe I need something like that attributed to me. So I'll have to think of something very hard tonight. Maybe I can come up with something, but it'd be hard to... It'd be hard to come up with something as outrageous as Mr. Limbaugh has, but you know, Mike's had it exactly right with the Bush crime family. He's the BCF. Yeah, he's been so right with that. He coined that several years ago, and he's been on the money with it always, because that's exactly what they are.
Right. Maybe it is, since Rush has been so successful, Guy, maybe I should recommend that.
Yeah, all right.
It's a good marketing tool.
Like I said, he is pocketing $35 million a year, so he's been doing something right, that's for sure. Terribly wrong, and yet right personally for his bank account. So he's sold out. But I don't think that matters a whole lot to him.
Well, he found his niche. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, and I believe I heard about his biography that he did have a stint as a DJ in Pittsburgh, or at least in the area.
Yes, Jeff Christie was his name. Yeah, was his name in Pittsburgh, Jeff Christie. He got fired from there, and then he got fired from the Kansas City Royals baseball team. He got fired from several jobs, but you got to hand it to him. You got to hand it to Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes, his former producer and manager, found a way to make him successful, and the combination of the two, the most successful story in talk radio ever, and there may not ever be anybody to ever top it, but doesn't mean I agree with him, but it does mean that... his business plan worked out, that's for sure.
Right. Well, that just goes to show you, Guy, you are just not controversial enough.
Well, I'm gonna solve that. I'm gonna say something terrible on the show tomorrow. Terrible, I tell you, that everybody will be talking about. Terrible. It's gonna be horrible.
Exactly. You have to be outrageous. Look at Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Look at Rush Limbaugh. You really have to go way out on a limb.
Yeah, that's it. The FCC can't touch me here on the internet, so I can say anything I want tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
I must listen, right? I'm going to wait for
Ah, yes.
Doing a challenge.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. I'll work on that tonight. I'm going to say something so terribly outrageous that no one will ever forget it. Something that'll absolutely inflame the right wing, make them want to... Well, I've said a few things about them, I'll have to think of something. I'll put my little brain to work on that and see what I can come up with. I was going to talk a lot today about the movie Sicko. And I don't know if we'll end up doing that, but... I wondered how many of you heard Michael Moore with Wolf Blitzer the other day. I was so proud of Michael Moore. Like I said, I've met Michael Moore. He's not one of my favorite people, but his work is phenomenal. Just phenomenal. He's the best at doing what he does. The best there's ever been. And Wolf Blitzer, after an absence of 3 years, decided to have Michael Moore on his program the other day. And first, before introducing Michael Moore, he had Dr., what's his name, Sanjay Gupta, or whatever his name is, something like that, I'm close, had him give his view of Michael Moore's film. And his view of Michael Moore's film was just a con job, is what it was. And that led to this interview, and this takes some time, but I know many of you have not heard it. It takes quite a little bit of time here. I want you to hear Michael Moore and Wolf Blitzer. I think it's important.
Live from Detroit, Michael, thanks very much for coming in. You want to respond to anything we just heard?
Yeah, I'd like about 10 minutes to respond to
give us a couple headlines, what you'd like to say.
I don't talk in sound bites, so that report was so biased. I can't imagine what pharmaceutical company ads coming up right after our break here. But, you know, why don't you tell the truth to the American people? I mean, I wish that CNN and the other mainstream media would just for once tell the truth about what's going on in this country, whether it's with health care. I don't care what it is. I mean, you guys have such a poor track record. And for me to come on here and have to listen to that kind of crap, I mean, seriously, I haven't been on your show now for 3 years. The last time I was on, you'd ran a similar piece about Fahrenheit 9/11 saying, oh, this can't be true, what he's saying about the war, how it's going to be a quagmire, the weapons of mass destruction, you know. And why don't you start off, actually, with my first appearance back here on your show in 3 years, and maybe apologize to me for saying that 3 years ago, because it turned out everything I said in Fahrenheit was true. Everything's come to happen. Everything I said, I mean, I took you in that film, the Walter Reed Hospital. And it took 3 years before you or any of the rest of the mainstream media would go to Walter Reed Hospital and see what was happening to our troops. So for me to have to sit here and listen again to more crap about socialized medicine or how the Canadians have it, you know, worse than us and all this, all the statistics show that we have a far worse health care than these other industrialized countries. We're the only ones that don't have it free and universal. And, you know, you said that Germany was the only one that was better than us in terms of wait times. The Commonwealth Fund last year showed of the top six countries, we were second to last, next to Canada. It showed that Britain, for instance, 71% of the British public, when they call to see a doctor, get to see the doctor that day or the next day. It's 69% in Germany. It's 66% in Australia. And you're the ones who are fudging the facts. You fudged the facts to the American people now for I don't know how long about this issue, about the war. And I'm just curious, when are you going to just stand there and apologize to the American people for not bringing the truth to them that isn't sponsored by some major corporation? I mean, I'll sit here for as long as it takes.
All right, well,
if you can do that
just
for
to be
me.
In fairness, we had a lot of commercials for Sicko that we've been running on CNN as well, so you know, we have commercials. This is a business, obviously. But let's talk a little bit about one
you
of
have
the
a nightly you have a nightly medical report. You have something called the Daily Dose. I watch CNN. You have it every day. The Daily Dose, sponsored by fill in the blank. And you are funded by these people day in and day out. Don't even compare that to my movie being out for a couple of weeks.
I would say that
ads for 15 seconds.
I don't know if you're familiar with I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Sanjay Gupta's record, but I would stack up his record on medical issues with virtually anyone in the business.
All right, so when I now put on my website, as I will do tonight, how his facts were wrong about the $7,000 that we spend. It's actually, I've read one report now, it's even more than $7,000 that we spend per person each year in this country. I'm going to put the real facts up there on my website so people can see what he just said was absolutely wrong.
Well, if we get that confirmed, obviously we'll correct the record, Sanjay, but I'm just saying.
Oh, you will. Good.
Obviously, Sanjay Gupta is not only a doctor and a neurosurgeon, but he's also an excellent, excellent journalist. Look, I saw the film, and it's a powerful, powerful.
I saw Dr. Sanjay Gupta over there embedded with the troops at the beginning of the war. He and the others of you in the mainstream media refuse to ask our leaders the hard questions and demand the honest answers, and that's why we're in this war. We're in the fifth year of this war because you and CNN, Dr. Gupta, you didn't do your jobs back then, and now here we are in this mess. What if you'd actually done the job on that? That's why anybody who hears anything of what you say now about universal health care should question what you're saying, what you're putting out there. You didn't do the job for us with the war. You're not doing it with this issue. And I just wonder when the American people are going to turn off their TV sets and quit listening to this stuff.
Sanjay Gupta did an excellent job covering that war. He was with the Navy's medical doctors, and he went in and risked his life, and he actually started to perform some neurosurgery on the scene.
Why are we here? That's the question. Why are we here in this war? Where's the weapons of mass destruction? Why did it take you so long, Wolf, to finally take on Vice President Cheney? It took you to 2007 before you made the man
those
mad
are,
at
those
you.
Are fair I mean, questions.
Four years.
Look, let's talk a
Where
little.
Where were you?
Let's talk about Sicko. That's the film that you're here to talk about.
Let's forget that.
There's plenty to talk about the war. There's plenty to talk about with Sicko.
Haven't seen you in 3 years, so I was just wondering how you felt after three years of not seeing me.
Michael,
after you trashed Fahrenheit, after you trashed Fahrenheit and said I was wrong this war was.
We've invited you on numerous occasions. Unfortunately, you've declined our invitations over these past 3 years. But there have been plenty of times we've asked you to come on the show, and plenty of times you have declined,
really?
which is of course you're right.
You wanted to apologize. We wanted to
interview you. That's what we do on television. Let's talk
about. You don't have to apologize to me. Maybe just apologize to the American people and to the families of the troops for not doing your job.
Here's a question.
4 years ago, we wouldn't be in this war if you'd done your job. Just admit it.
Which of the presidential candidates who are out there right now do you think would do the best job fixing the nation's health care system?
Well, the Democrats have to be asked some very specific questions. Too many of them are saying, they're for health care for all people. Very few of them are being as specific as Mr. Kucinich is and saying, well, I support the Conyers bill in Congress, H.R. 676. That's what we need to hear. And I'd like to hear what these other Democratic candidates are going to say and do in specifics in removing the private insurance companies from the equation. We shouldn't have profit involved when we talk about taking care of people's health.
Is there a candidate, though, you think, is Dennis Kucinich your candidate? Who do you think? I know that in the film you go after Hillary Clinton, and you're very, very bipartisan in your criticism in the film, Democrats and Republicans.
When you say I go after her, let's be clear. I mean, I actually think she did a very brave thing to try and address this issue 14 years ago, and they stopped her cold. They went after her with the same kind of, trash pieces I just had to watch. And so that stopped her. And now we've had to suffer through 14 more years of having no universal health care in this country. Our own government admits that because the 47 million who aren't insured, we now have about 18,000 people a year that die in this country simply because they don't have health insurance. That's 6 9/11s every single year. And if you times that by 14... since Mrs. Clinton was unceremoniously removed from the agenda here, she hasn't been able to talk about this. She hasn't really put forth her specific plan. I'm hoping that the people who've gone to my movie, the people that are concerned about this issue, will write to Mrs. Clinton and say, please, universal health care that's free for everyone who lives in this country. It'll cost us less than what we're spending now lining the pockets of these private health insurance companies, of these pharmaceutical companies. So there's still a chance to have some, I think, effect on people like her. And, of course, there's one candidate who isn't even in the race yet. I don't know if he ever will be, but he was right about the war before it began, unlike CNN. Did I mention that?
You did.
And he's right about global warming, and he's right on this issue, too.
Al Gore. The Democrats, by and large, most of them support some sort of major health reform, including universal health care, which is what you support. I want you to listen to what Rudy Giuliani, the Republican frontrunner, said at the Republican debate that I hosted up in Manchester, New Hampshire. Listen to this.
Okay.
Free market principles are the only things that reduce costs and improve quality. Socialized medicine will ruin medicine in the United States.
All right, what do you say to Mayor Giuliani?
So he's saying that he hates Medicare?
He's saying socialized medicine will ruin medicine in the United States.
Ask a doctor if they'd rather have a Medicare patient or somebody who's got a lousy HMO, because they know at least Medicare will, the government will pay them, send them a check, and not have to fight an hour on the phone just to get the $15 office visit paid for. I mean, seriously, we have one of the largest socialized medicine systems in this country. It's called Medicare and Medicaid, and while it's underfunded and too much of the control of it has been handed over to private companies, we've already proven that we can do things like that and Social Security and other things very well. So I hope that he wasn't attacking help for senior citizens, because that's what it sounded like to me.
I got a whole bunch of questions. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But if you stick around, if you stick around, we're going to do some more.
I'll see you in 3 years.
No, no, no. Stick around. We'll tape some more. We'll run it tomorrow. We want to make sure you get your chance.
Oh no! That's the deal, Wolf. There's no taping with me, as you know. It's rare that they put me on live. And to your credit, thank you for doing that. And you can see why they generally don't like to have me on live, because you know, a lot of that would have been cut out.
Well,
so,
no.
I really appreciate it.
We're not going to cut a second of it out. If you want to tape something,
we'll run it unedited.
And we'll run it unedited.
People can go to your website.
It's a free country.
They can find out the facts.
Whatever
about
it is.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, they can find out about his facts. Right? We can find that out. Right?
Absolutely. Michael Moore, okay. Thanks very much. Stand by. Michael Moore has got a new film called Sicko. Let's check in with Lou Dobbs to see what's coming up.
Yeah, and then Lou Dobbs has to get his 2 cents worth in on the whole thing. And here's Lou's little ditty.
See what's coming up right at the top of the hour. Lou, what are you working on?
Wolf, are you having fun with Michael Moore?
I am.
He's more of a left-wing promoter than Hugo Chavez, for crying out loud. He has to love profit. What's he talking about?
More of a left-wing than Hugo Chavez. Thank you, Lou Dobbs, for your insightful remark, you dumbass. I can't stand Lou Dobbs. I never could stand Lou Dobbs and like him less even after that comment. Regardless of what you think about Michael Moore personally, and you always hear a couple of things when you hear him talk about Michael Moore, they always talk about his appearance. Yeah, oh yeah. Can't have anything on without time. But did he slay Wolf Blitzer there and CNN or not? Did he absolutely just kill him? Gupta's article was erroneous. Many of the things he said were addressed in Michael Moore's film already. And Gupta was just plain wrong. And yet, CNN produced that piece, put it on the air. And Michael Moore had every right to come back and criticize what Dr. Sanjay Gupta did, because he didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground about several of those subjects. Sorry to put it that way, but that's how it is. Great controversy about the healthcare system here in this country, and there's going to continue to be. There must be. There will be always. I don't know how long it's going to take the American public. Certainly this film will help. But I don't know how long it's going to take the American public to wake up and understand that we are in a crisis situation with our health care in this country. That our health care system in this country really does absolutely, as they say in the vernacular of the youngsters, absolutely sucks. There's no other way you can put it. I get into an argument with a fellow the other day, and it was not a friendly argument. You left-wing bastard, he said. This is going to raise my taxes if they put in single-payer health care. Did he not understand that currently about, and I don't think a lot of people understand this, currently about 64% of our health care system is already financed by public money. Federal and state taxes, property taxes, tax subsidies, those funds pay for Medicaid, for Medicare, the VA, of course, coverage for public employees, including teachers and elected officials and military people. There's also a lot of hefty tax subsidies to employers to help pay for their employees' health insurance. The latest figure is that about 17% of health care is financed by all of us individually through out-of-pocket payments, such as co-pays and deductibles. The uninsured pay directly for care. People paying privately for premiums. Private employees, employers only pay 19% of health costs. I guess there's no other way to put it. It's a very regressive way to finance health care, in that the poor pay a much higher percentage of their income for health care than the higher income people do. Pay more taxes? Wouldn't you pay more taxes for decent health care? I would, even if it came to that. It shouldn't. It shouldn't come to that at all. So many people pay tremendous insurance premiums. If they're self-employed, they pay it all. 100% of their insurance cost. If they work for most companies nowadays, they pay a portion of it. So wouldn't it be good to have everybody have decent health care in this country? To use our money a little wiser and cut out the middleman? Let's face it, that's who's making the big money in the healthcare industry, is the middleman, the insurance company, the CEOs and execs of these HMOs making obscene amounts of money off of death and sickness. I agree with Michael Moore that the word profit has got no place in the healthcare industry. No place. It offends me. It should offend all citizens of this country that we're not number one across the board in health care for all of the citizens here. It should offend every citizen of this country that we're now ranked, 37th? 37th amongst industrialized nations? This country? How can that be? Why did we let it happen? Well, once again, we let it happen through apathy, as most bad things that happen to this nation have come about. Apathy. Slowly but surely. So many people in the unions, for example, had health care that they fought and bargained for and didn't have to pay anything for through their employer. Their employer was making good money. And gradually, slowly but surely, the benefits have waned. And the cost to the individual has gone up to where, in most cases, in many cases now at least, the employer's not paying the biggest percentage of it. Ask the people that work at Walmart, for example, the nation's largest employer. Ask them how much they pay for their health insurance. Ask them the percentage of their paycheck that it takes to pay for their health insurance. So won't it raise taxes? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. We're all already paying. You think what you pay out of your pocket, your copay, your premiums, your medicine cost, you think what that costs you. And then tell me that if it's going to cost you more out of pocket to have a single payer health system. I don't think so. And I don't think there's any question whatsoever that it would be of great benefit to this country, of this entire country, to have that. The peace of mind alone that it would bring many families would be a wonderful thing. People with several children worrying about how they're going to pay their medical bills, whether or not they can take their kids to the doctor. They can't even afford the co-pays. We've got to work it out, folks. We've got to work it out. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks for being with us today. I want to thank our guest, David Swanson. Great guest as always. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, guys.